Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, Fancy Sauce Show listeners, and welcome to episode 4, season 3 of the Fancy Sauce Show with Jordan Poulton,
Kai Shaw,
John Beebe,
hello,
and myself, Ollie Coles, yello. So we wanted to kick off talking about current affairs, and I think one of the most current things is Cleggy sending his Clegg-nut child to a state school.
To a state school.
Is this just a movement that he's done to basically prove that he's not posh?
Don't all politicians send their kids to shit schools?
So they're not like, we're not using the system?
No, I mean state schools.
Shit schools?
No. No, I don't mean like that. I mean like they can't send their kids to expensive schools because then they're supposed to be off the people.
Yeah. Although if you've got the money, which he clearly does, then why wouldn't you send your child to the best possible school and give them the best possible education?
Yeah, because it's not necessarily about the actual education. Surely it's about like, all the extracurricular stuff that public schools...
I thought you were going to say, surely it's about the boys' network.
It's just about the networking afterwards. Yeah, which exactly. He's already got because his dad's not really Prime Minister. He's a fake Prime Minister.
And not particularly popular, so it might be helpful to get in the old boys' network.
So is he doing this as a kind of popularity move?
I think all politicians do it. Like, you have to. You can't be seen to be a politician, because it's basically saying the schools that our government have created are shit.
Which is bizarre, though, because all of them went to public schools.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, apparently Tony Blair's kids went to the same state school
that he's going to.
So maybe it's like a undercover public school that they, like, you know, just leave brown envelopes of cash in a like a bin outside.
But is it a selective state school? You have to get in, or is it like in a certain geographical catchment area? Or
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be close to where he lives. It's not going to be sending someone up in like Perth or something.
Yeah, but if he like lives in Brixton, are his kids going to the Brixton State?
No,
comp?
I think it's near where he lives.
As in counting where he lives as Parliament.
Yeah. But I just think it's like mental, really. Like, I don't really understand what the issue is.
What, with why he has to do it, or why he would want to do it, or what?
No, just like, but just why, just not...
Why everyone gives
to,
a shit.
Yeah, like, but why also make it massive, why is that newsworthy?
Well, most people have read the news and thought, what a dick.
Yeah.
Why do that?
Most
people, us, who went to public school, are thinking, what a dick.
Okay,
maybe the people who went to state schools are thinking, yeah, good on him.
Yeah, okay, but surely the parents of people who are at state schools, would they not think, wait, he's a bit of a dick, because if I had that money, I definitely wouldn't be sending them to my kid's school. I mean, kid's school, because it's not great.
Yeah, but maybe. Yeah. But then I haven't looked into what school he's going to and what the results and all that sort of stuff are.
It might be good.
But again, it's can't not be. A necessary. It's not. It's not the thing. I don't think it's education, because then there are some state schools that are equally as good. Like if you look at
or
where
better,
they are,
or better,
or better, where they're actually making better grades. But it is about the. It's definitely about the extracurricular stuff.
The like
if you look
you
at
mean,
what you can
the.
But surely if you go to a state school, then you can join lots of out-of-school clubs, because you finish...
That's true, but you have to pay extra for them, don't you?
Yeah, but it's probably saving quite a bit of money sending his kid to a state school.
But then, okay, so then, right, then if you're saying, well, he's not spending his money on that, what is he spending his money on?
Extracurricular activities.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't really work out.
So let's think, I mean, like, if he's going to send his son to Winchester instead, that's going to be, what, £25,000 a year? £25,000 in extracurricular activities is quite a bit of activity.
It's going to be a king base jumper by the time you school.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be in all the clubs and all
but
the bands.
Actually, politicians don't really spend... They can't be seen to be spending any money anyway, can they?
No, exactly.
So why not do something slightly different, which is just cut all their salaries so they can't afford to send their kids to public school? That's a better way to do it. Well, bad luck. You don't make the cut.
Because I think the point is, we're not trying to say you don't deserve to send your kids to public school. What we're saying is, if it's your job to make the schools run well, then by definition, you should send your children to it. Because if they're not good enough, it's your fault.
Yeah, but is he on the education board? I suppose he's Prime Minister. Well,
Semi-Prime Minister? What do you mean, semi-Prime Minister?
He's not a real Prime Minister.
Well, just because he shines this Prime Minister's shoes and, you know, brings him tea in the morning doesn't make him pseudo-Prime Minister. They basically what happened is we had, for the first time ever, three prime ministers debating on TV, and Nick Clegg was a bit of a lad, so the entire government ended up being split because the country were like, yeah, he's quite cool, I'm going to vote for him now. I have no idea what the Lib Dems do, but he looks good on telly.
I didn't think he was a bit of a lad.
I did. I thought he came across really well in the TV debates. I thought he made the others look stupid.
What, David and, who was it, Gordon Brownie?
And Gord.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. Gordon Brown. Yeah, no.
Do we all say Gordon Brownie?
Gordon Ramsay.
Just a really, really fat, overweight Scottish cook.
As Prime Minister, just effing and blinding at everyone in Parliament. Can you imagine him talking to the Queen? Fucking hell. Alright, we have some fantastically pointless technology to bring everyone today. I'd like to kick things off. It's an impressive little device. It basically is almost like a thimble, but like a bigger one and plastic. And it goes over your index finger and goes over your thumb. And it digitally measures the distance between your thumb and your finger. So you can use it to measure things and it will just... It basically has a little display that tells you distance that you've made with your fingers.
Can we try and work out just five things you might use this for?
Measuring your penis.
That's exactly
one,
the
measuring
first
your penis. Two, measuring your penis. Three,
measuring the depth of your ball sack.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I reckon another one, four, is measuring how far apart you can get your fingers.
That's so true. And you'd put one on one finger and one on the other finger and see if it can reach. And then you'd have your arms as far wide as possible and see if it can
reach. That's not a bad thing to... Isn't the span of your arms is supposed to be your height, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could work out how tall you are.
Yeah, but again and again and again with this technology, I return to the same question. That is, what the fuck is wrong with the tape measure? The tape measure costs about 60 pence. In any old post office, you can pick up a tape measure, and this thing is the most over-engineered piece of shit.
The only thing I can think about maybe using this for architects on site, looking at like a scale...
Measuring their penises in their tea break.
But measuring on a plan or whatever, or
to scale plan,
so they can.
But
then
how?
Go.
I mean, if you're an architect with arthritis, then it's going to be a little bit.
Yeah, alright, okay. Or if you're an architect with no fingers, yeah, probably wouldn't work as well.
But you wouldn't rely upon that as a final measurement, right? Yeah, the width of the house.
I'm building the shard. Look at this new gadget I've got.
Yeah, exactly. This to scale sketch I've done on a napkin. Let me just measure it with my fingers. Yeah, it should be 600 meters high.
It's definitely for those people that just love gadgets. Like, I don't need a ruler anymore. I've got these things. And then everyone's going to be borrowing them, and you're just going to get
STI. Have you got a price tag?
No price tag, I'm afraid.
I bet they're fucking expensive as well.
Yeah, exactly. A snip at $199.99.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I just think it's massively over-engineered. Nearly as over-engineered as the thing that I bought, which is a face mask that you wear while you sleep. And as you breathe, it charges your iPhone.
Epic. Epic.
Is it just your iPhone that it charges, or can it charge anything?
Well, I think it'll probably have a thing for a USB plug-in. So not only are you wearing a face mask while you sleep, but you're also chance of strangulation. So the cable.
You don't have to wear it while sleeping, though. Presumably, you could just walk through London charging your phone.
Well, the flip side of it is like maybe it would be quite useful if you were like running or if you were cycling, and you'd be like,
surely
it
must inhibit your breathing.
Yeah, but you could wear it if you wanted to prevent yourself getting. Don't know, what's it called? Like mad cow disease or SARS or whatever it was called.
Mad cow disease. Breathing in mad cow disease.
Okay, but pollution.
So you're gonna see all the little Japanese tourists walking around London charging, be like, mate, can I just plug in?
No, you gotta follow around, just have like a little Sherpa with you. Wait, come here, just plug in. Just like, oh god, no, imagine. And then I suppose actually you could do something as well where you, if you're driving along, you just stick it out the window and then it just does it that way.
Yeah,
maybe. Well, I don't know how it's engineered, but like
whether it requires inhalation and exhalation, I don't know.
And also, I mean, one thing that we have actually touched on quite a few times in our technology topics are things that can charge iPhones.
Yeah,
I think they're trying to say something.
Yeah,
just make the iPhone battery better.
Yeah, and talking about touching on something, my idea that I've come across is also quite interesting, and that is, it's called flatulence pants, okay? And they are pants that you wear if you've got flatulence, or if you're just any human being and fart 40 times a day. And they, I think essentially, Beef knows more because he's got a pair, but I think essentially they just soak up your fart. Or deodorize your fart. So
well, yeah,
the
from what I could see,
out.
They're not actually like full pants. It's just a, like, it's almost like a sticky thing that you put on.
Like
the
a tampon.
Like a panty liner.
Like a panty liner. Yeah, like a fart panty liner.
Okay, but, cool. Does that mean it goes brown?
Yeah, after too much use.
Do you have to wash your flatulence pants? But I was thinking that there's a way that this could tie in with BB's idea, which I'm sure you guys can all guess, but that is to put BB's idea... Mix it together
with
a flatulence pants.
Face mask in your
on
pants.
on your bottom in your pants. Fart into them. Charge your phone and also suck up the fart.
It could work. That's a better idea than either one of them individually.
What? How do you work that out?
Well, because obviously, rather than using the exhalation of your breath, it's just when you fart, it goes.
It charges your iPhone.
It charges your iPhone.
Yeah, but how? You have to be farting a lot to charge an iPhone. Jesus, how much are you guys farting every day?
I don't know, there is some interesting stat about how often someone farts during a day, and it's quite a high number. It's more, yeah, maybe
I genuinely think that I maybe fart 3 or 4 times a day.
But how many do you hold in?
Yeah, that's going to be in the marketing copy for your little thing. Like, how many farts a day are you wasting that could be used to charge your iPhone?
Fart freely and charge your phone.
Yeah, exactly. And no smell. Can you imagine being the model that had to act that out for the advert?
Your iPhone would stink, wouldn't it? Oh. It could be called an iFart.
Jesus.
Yeah, I just think, like, surely there's got to be, like, GlaxoSmithKline or someone that can invent a pill that just stop your fart smelling. Stop.
You'd think so, because if curry makes your fart smell like curry, then why can't you have some, like, strawberries and they smell like strawberries?
Can you imagine that? If someone came over and you were like, "Is that smell of strawberry? Have you farted?"
Yeah, yeah. It's like, Jordan's around, it stinks of strawberries today.
You could actually predict every time what your housemate has eaten.
Yeah.
Make fish and chips? No, that's just the girlfriend.
But surely... Oh, Colsey, that's terrible.
I feel really sorry for your girlfriend, Colsey.
You did mention that you wanted to get a pair of these for her bottom, for her front farts, didn't you?
Don't wind me up. No, absolutely not.
You
that's
said
disgusting.
That could charge everyone's iPhone, didn't you?
That's disgraceful.
And now for everyone's favourite part of the show, question time.
Question time!
Okay, we're going to carry on the theme of last week. I'm going to throw some idioms at you guys. I want you to tell me what they mean and how you think this idiom came about, where it came from, what's the origin of such an idiom.
Okey-dokey.
So the first one is when you describe it as cold enough to freeze the balls off a brass monkey.
Oh,
it must be something to do with Russia. I reckon.
Okay,
I'm going to dive in with Russia.
Okay.
One, it's the coldest place on the planet.
Right.
Did the Trans-Siberian Express used to have like a brass monkey as an emblem on the front, and then one day the balls fell off and killed the train driver? That would be amazing.
That's an interesting story.
It would be brilliant if that was it. Can you imagine the most random story that? And you're like, oh my fucking god!
Is it?
How did you know such a thing?
That'd be bizarre. Is it something to do with the Navy?
It is, to a certain extent, yeah.
Yeah, because I've heard a friend who was in the Navy used to say it's brass monkeys.
Yeah.
To say it was cold, and I'm trying to remember why. Is it something to do with the ship?
It is.
And
I think I might know.
Go on.
It's not actually to do with monkey balls at all. Is it like is it something... What's that thing that they use that have the two brass balls on the side and it would spin round?
Yeah, the wheel.
No.
That round brass
thing
that moves.
No, it had two balls on either side and had like a, it was like a square in between it, and it had something to do with like the rotation of the earth or something like that. I think I made that up.
It's weird because you're starting to get there in the right direction.
Is it like, it's a, I can't think of the word, I'm going to say utensil.
Okay.
No, that's not the right word.
Okay.
But like an instrument. A naval instrument.
Right.
For something to do with navigation, and then if it gets too cold...
It is a naval instrument.
And if it gets too cold, it actually freezes, it stops working. So it's brass balls, and then someone just put monkeys.
You're getting there. You're halfway there, but okay. Completely out.
Okay. But did monkeys didn't used to sail ships?
Monkeys never sailed ships, and as far as I know, there was never a brass monkey on the front of the Trans-Siberian Express, nor did its testicles fall off and kill anybody. But they basically, when they stored cannonballs on ships, they had a big square thing that had balls on the bottom, like you say, and yeah. and it was made of brass. And they would stack, they would put all the cannonballs in it, like lay them in a square, and then they'd lay another square on top of it, but one closer inwards. And then so another one closer inwards, so they built a pyramid of cannonballs that were held together by what was called a brass monkey.
Okay.
And the brass and so when you say freeze the balls off the brass monkey, what used to happen is it would freeze, and the ice would basically like get into the gaps and move stuff, so it would make the top balls fall off. So it would be so cold that the brass monkey would change its actual shape and squeeze some of these balls loose, and they'd fall over and hit someone and injure them.
Interesting.
So it's cold enough to freeze the balls off a brass monkey.
So what, do you know why it was called a brass monkey, by any chance? Or is that one step too far?
I think that's a step too far.
All right. I'll try and figure that out and put it on the Facebook page of why it was called a brass monkey.
Yeah. Maybe if anyone knows why they would possibly be called a brass monkey, then let us know.
Yeah.
All right, second one is one of my favourites, actually. So remember, I want the meaning and where it comes from. I'll be there in a jiffy.
Okay.
Isn't a jiffy a nickname for a condom?
No. Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Keep going.
Because in an episode of Bottom, he says, I'll be back in a jiffy, and he goes, don't be so foul. And I think it was linked to condoms. That's the only reason I know that. But okay. Is it...
But how would... Okay, what does it mean?
It means I'll be back soon, like very quickly.
Yeah. So how was that linked to a condom again?
Maybe like
I'll come really quickly.
Yeah, I'll come really quickly. Something like that. It's like,
so a jiffy is the amount of time it takes someone to prematurely ejaculate.
No. It's something about a condom, but therefore you'd wear a condom if you don't.
I'll be there in a jiffy, so I'll be there quickly. I'll be there safe and sound. Safe.
I don't know where you got the safe bit from.
We know what it means. It means I'll be back soon. I'll be back in a jiffy. We know what it means.
Yeah, but we've established that. I know. I'm wondering whether it means that because having sex with a condom is safe and sound and being there quickly.
Okay, maybe we should just let go of this whole condom thing. It's got nothing to do with condoms.
Okay.
Why did you even entertain that?
You said it!
Yeah, I know, and you were like, go on.
Yeah, because I wanted to see how you could come up with such a ridiculous theory.
Okay, a jiffy.
I reckon it's got something to do with a brand or something. Jiffy Lube in America.
Would you stop going about lubes?
No, Jiffy Lube is a car lube manufacturer in America.
I know. I actually had a little giggle when I first saw it and even took a photo.
I love that in America they call exhaust pipe, like silencers, mufflers.
Mufflers, nice.
Yeah.
You're very
so you
mature.
Get to Jim's mufflers.
All right, don't change the subject.
Sorry, Jiffy. What's the little plastic lemon things that you squeeze on pancakes?
That's
Jiff Lemon.
Jiff Lemon.
Yeah. So you think that's where it came from?
I think it could be.
It's quicker to use Jiff Lemon than it is to squeeze a lemon. So maybe be back quickly.
Just Jiff. Maybe it stands for something like just in five.
That would be... Then now we're at least actually using some logic... to find an explanation, not just going, oh, it's probably about condoms. But actually, I kind of cheated you.
Oh, it doesn't mean anything.
It does mean something, but it actually means something very, very specific. It doesn't come from anywhere. A jiffy is a real amount of time.
No way.
Yeah. It's a thousandth of a second. Official term.
Really?
It's not a slang. It's not made up. It's actually a word for that fraction of time.
When was that made up? Like, how old is this?
1726.
Don't make shit up. People listen to you as the oracle. You can't say this, otherwise it's going to be on Wikipedia tomorrow.
No, it is an official amount of time. It is actually already on Wikipedia.
Is it?
Yeah. And jiffy is defined as the time taken for light to travel some specified distance.
Say that again. Jiffy. Was it invented in Jamaica? I'll be there in a jiffy.
A jiffy is the amount of time it takes... The distance light goes in 3×10⁻²⁴ seconds.
Right, that means nothing to me.
So no one can come in a jiffy.
No, if you could come in a jiffy, then you'd be coming at light speed.
That's amazing.
That's premature ejaculation.
All right, let's do a chip on your shoulder.
So that means when you kind of hold a grudge about something that you haven't directly... Wait, let me try and work that out. It's basically...
You've got a chip on your shoulder, you've got a problem about something, you've got an issue with something.
But it's a constant one.
Yeah, it's more of an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like someone who kind of has...
Someone who went to state school and has a chip on their shoulder about people who went to public school.
Yeah, or maybe Nick Clegg's son has got a chip on his shoulder for not having gotten to go to public school.
Okay, but the origin of such a saying...
How would you get this... How would you come up with a saying, a chip on your shoulder?
Maybe it's... Is it something to do with someone that maybe... Or like people used to get injured specifically, yeah, like in their shoulder, and it was an ongoing thing and it got worse over time.
And it was a problem for them carrying things.
That makes sense. But it's not to do with actually getting injured. The chip is not an injury.
Is a chip like an area of your shoulder?
No, it's a piece of potato.
It's a crisp.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm also thinking like wood chip as well.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like getting a splinter in your shoulder. And that's just a massive pain in the ass.
That would be an interesting way place to live.
From when they used to carry pails of water over their shoulder, you know, like...
Peeps, if we had points, I would give you a point. Not because it's anywhere near the right answer, but because that's actually would make... I would believe that. If someone told me it was because people, when they carried pails of milk on their shoulders, you might get a splinter, and the splinter would put you in a bad mood, and you'd have a chip on your shoulder and be aggressive to people.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's not the answer. Do you want to know?
Yeah, I do.
So it actually comes from the US, and it kind of means to spoil for a fight, or to have a kind of sense of inferiority. And it's because people in the mid-1700s, they had a weird kind of trend where people who were looking for fights would actually put a block of wood, would walk around with a block of wood on their shoulders, a chip of wood. And it would basically be, if anyone knocked it off their shoulder, then they'd have a reason to fight the person.
Interesting.
So it would mean that anyone just gently hitting you, or if you're in a bar or something and someone just knocks into you, then if the chip comes off, then you can start a fight with them because you have a chip on your shoulder and you've got an excuse.
Because you actually don't have a chip on your shoulder.
Because they knocked the chip off your shoulder.
Yeah.
So if you remove the chip off someone's shoulder...
So someone who's got a chip on their shoulder is basically spoiling for a fight.
Which is weird, but weird how like now like that's changed to...
No, because it does make sense, because you can look at a guy and go, don't touch that guy, he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. That's bizarre. It's quite strange.
Another one?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay. Shall we do...
Do either of you two know why it's called having... paying through the nose for something?
No.
Do you cause it?
I can try and find out.
No, I know. I know. Shall I pose one?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Okay, so I've got one for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Paying through the nose for something.
Okay, so meaning first. I'm guessing it means to pay a lot for something. Pay more than is necessary.
Either more than is, I guess, more than is necessary, or you pay through the nose if you want something there and then you'll pay an excessive amount.
Okay, so it's not going to be like the Egyptians when they used to pull your brains out your nose and it's a really large amount. Is you're paying a lot if you've got to pay with your brain that comes out your nose. That's not it.
I don't think anyone ever pulled the brains out to pay for something. Oh, I really need a watermelon.
Okay, yeah, that might be strange. Or maybe, is it because a lot is a large amount and trying to squeeze that through your nose would be really difficult? And so it's saying that it's something that you find very difficult to pay that much for because you've got to squeeze all that through a little gap through your nostril.
But if that was the reason, if that was the reason, then you'd be better off saying paying through the Jap side.
Oh my god, we have to start that. I paid through the Jap side for that stag do.
Kidney stones coming out. I cannot think of an idea.
Does nose actually mean something different? Is there any meaning of the word nose?
Definitely, it's definitely the nostrils. It's about the nose on your face.
Okay.
Pain through the nose.
Well, I mean, maybe it's set up against something else as opposed to paying through the mouth.
Or paying through your hand.
Yeah.
Paying through your pocket. Deep pocket, shallow nose.
Tell us, Beams.
Okay, so I can't remember exactly...
The details kind of important.
No, maybe it was either the Vikings or the Saxons, but basically they used to have a tax, or the Romans or someone, that they used to have a tax in the UK.
Right.
And if you didn't pay the tax in time, they would come and the punishment would be to chop off your nose. So you would pay for it with your nose rather than through your nose.
Pay through the nose,
you
I see.
Pay through the nose.
Uh huh. So you get to keep your nose if you pay.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, it's just more a punishment if you didn't pay. It's not like, you get to keep your nerve.
Yes. And here's it's what you like, might have won. Yeah.
You could look like this guy. That's actually quite a cool fashion. No one pay the taxes. But yeah, it's just a bizarre thing to do, chop off someone's nose. Yeah. But I guess it was so that you, you know, it wasn't like you got branded or anything like that. It was like, it was so obvious that you got your...
That would be brutal, getting your nose chopped off.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it would.
Jesus.
You'd look like an orc from Lord of the Rings.
I think I saw someone with his nose chopped off, actually, when I was cycling to work last week.
I don't think this tax still exists, by the way.
No. But genuinely, I saw some guy, he was a beggar, and...
Could have been.
I don't think it's racialist to say he was clearly foreign. And I maybe thought that he came from a country where you can be punished by having your nose cut off for something.
Maybe.
Like, he genuinely looked like his nose had actually been cut off.
But to be honest, I've never heard of any punishment system recently where people are like, oh, they cut his nose off. Like, you usually get your hand cut off if you...
No, but there are still some pretty harsh punishments out there, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's
maybe
still
he sneezed
some...
on, like, the royalty's head or something, so he chopped his nose off.
A bit extreme.
Hello, everybody. I've come here to talk to you about Shut Up, It's All The Guy.
Good lord. Right, this thought of the day is my thought of the day, and it's regarding naval lint.
Naval?
Naval lint.
Okay.
Is that not what it's called?
What, lint that you get in the Navy?
Well, Navy, no. On boats.
From what my...
It's like brushing it down, look at all the lint we have.
It's like, no, it's the area just above your brass monkeys.
Oh, okay. You mean your belly button?
Your belly button.
Belly button.
And for some reason, belly button does collect hair. Little fluff, bits of fluff.
Right.
But it always appears to be blue. Have you guys noticed this?
Maybe that's why it's called naval fluff, because it's navy blue.
Maybe it is.
It's not called naval fluff, though. It's just
called belly button fluff.
Belly button fluff.
Yeah, but I think Colsey was using the more...
Naval lint.
Naval lint, yeah.
That's a technical term.
Yeah. But actually, I think you're totally right. It's a question that I've always wondered. Like, it's always between blue and grey.
Even if you're wearing a white t-shirt or a red t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a question, actually, Beebs. In your fire red naval, do you still get blue lint?
Yeah, all blue lint.
Really?
I think I did actually watch... I didn't know the answer to this.
Okay.
And they did... I watched an entire TV show. Or TV episode.
Been busy?
Really busy. No, this was years ago when I was a student.
Okay.
And it's basically because the majority... They tried to work out where it actually came from. Was it, like, chest hair down, or was it boxer shorts up? And they found out that actually it was a mix of the two.
Okay.
And generally, boxer shorts are dark in colour.
Okay.
So
the only girls get... Only
I
guys
we
get
all checked
lint.
Our pants. Just yeah.
My pants are almost blue.
Yeah, my pants are actually blue.
So basically what it would do is that the lint would rub off that, and...
I'm lint-free today, by the way, guys.
I got a little bit deep.
Oh, no, I've got a little bit. But mine's grey, and I'm wearing a grey T-shirt.
If you dig nice and deep, I've got a little bit in there.
Belly buttons smell horrible, by the way.
They do, don't they? It's really, weird.
Really, really horrible.
Yeah, what is it?
Because it just gets no air. Unless you have an outie.
I've got a sort of semi-outie.
But anyway, so all of your body hair draws into your tummy bone.
I'm really grateful that our listeners can't see you stroking your belly.
I'm like a miniature Buddha. I mean, a massive Buddha.
So is it made up of the clothes that you're wearing?
Clothes. Therefore, if you wore red boxer shorts, red t-shirt, red trousers,
it would be red.
Yeah,
because interestingly, there's a guy who has, for the last 30 or 40 years, has collected his naval lint. He keeps it in jars. But really, really weirdly,
imagine meeting a bird in a bar and taking it back and being like, "You've got to see my lint collection."
Yeah. just shelves full of this.
He's got enough to fill a pillowcase up with it.
No
so
way.
So he could probably have a little pillow and say, "Yeah, babe, enjoy my lint."
I'll be like, this pillow's so comfy.
Yeah,
what is
you
it?
Hit it, you rush out on it too hard and all the air comes out and you're just enveloped in a belly button cloud.
Or it would be thick with pheromones, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be so disgusting.
Instead of having lint Lindors after dinner, you can have a little nibble on his lint, lint fluff. But yeah, no, weirdly, from like 1980 to 1985 was yellow. And from 1985, but I think this must have been because he left it in the window and it's actually changed the colour. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think...
What are these shows you're both watching?
Yeah, this is in the newspaper. This is in the newspaper.
Which newspaper?
In the Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
Yeah. I knew it. Right, it's a column about how Great Britain's going to capsize because we're going to have an influx of guys from Eastern Europe.
But yeah. Bizarre thing. So that is the reason.
Yeah, that's the reason. So, it's definitely linked to your clothes, but generally clothes are, or like boxer shorts,
are dark.
Darker in colour.
So I'm gonna test this out.
Yeah, I want to test this out.
White pants and a white t-shirt one day.
But you've got to maybe wear it for like 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row so that you can make sure that you get a bit of build-up. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't collect lint at that kind of pace.
I shower every day.
I put out lint.
You get daily little lint dig.
Yeah, either I have to have a Jordan dig or did, just wash it out with the
Jordan did actually just dig right into his belly button.
Yeah, I did. I had to dig pretty deep to find some, but there was some hidden in the back.
Yeah, you've got a weirdly small belly button.
What?
It looks more like a piercing.
Yeah.
That's not a weirdly small belly button. That's a perfectly healthy belly button.
It looks
button.
Like a coin slot on a fruit machine.
It looks like a cat's bottom.
All belly buttons look like cat bottoms, don't they?
No. Yeah, pretty much.
Unless you've got an outie one, which is fucked up.
That's outie belly buttons are
like,
weird.
Push it back in.
Yeah.
Just push it in. Yeah, no one wants to see that shit.
But it's how, what's, is that where someone they cut off, like, they let, no, because they leave quite a lot on, don't
I think they always do, but it just falls off, and I don't know how it decides whether it's innie or outie.
I reckon 80% of people have innie, don't they?
More than that, I reckon. If you see, like, if you see an outie at the beach, you definitely give them a wide berth. Definitely give them a wide berth. It's like having acne.
Yeah.
You can catch that shit just from being friends with the person.
But wait a minute. Then if a guy had an outie and a girl had an innie,
it could store it in it.
No, yeah. You could kind of.
Oh my god! You could stick them together. Yeah, that'd be fucking amazing. But like, we're stuck. We've got suction. There's a vacuum between our belly buttons.
And then if you suck too hard, then it just keeps pulling the outie out.
Oh my god!
More.
Can you imagine?
And then you have a double pee. Penis.
A double what?
Penis.
A double pee.
I thought I'd come up with a name.
A doubly.
A doubly. Double P. Double penis.
That would be
weird.
Could
maybe join
what
up.
What do you reckon's the most outie sticking belly button that's ever existed? Do you reckon there's ever been one that was like the size of an index finger?
So you had like two penises?
Yeah. Imagine if it could get erect as well.
It'd be quite fun to play with.
Oh, I'd be sick.
Just sitting there.
Imagine seeing someone just milking it.
Oh,
just stroking it.
Yeah, it'd be like a cow's udder, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just slowly stroking it from base to tip.
You just say to your girlfriend, no, pull the udder one.
It's horrible.
Jesus. Do people with sticky outy belly buttons have lint?
No.
Well, no, because
unless it rests just on the top, just a little
it
layer.
Gathers
on the top.
It gathers.
It looks
ball.
Like a little,
a little helmet.
Tash.
Little helmet.
A little Hitler tash.
It's ridiculous.
Fucking hell, we cover some weird shit. All right, that was episode 4, season 3 of the Fancy Sauce Show. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, great, mate. Really enjoyed it.
It's
yeah?
the best thing we've done. 5.5 stars.
5.5 stars?
Yeah.
Awesome. So if anyone else shares Biebs' hubris, then get in touch. We're on Twitter, just at Fancy Sauce Show, or you can find us on Facebook. We're Fancy Sauce Show as well. And we even have a special little website, don't we, Biebs?
Yep, fancysauceshow.com. One thing about Facebook, though, whatever we post on there, do you know that now it doesn't go to all of our fans?
Yeah, really? They have to select to do that, don't they?
Not only that, but we also now have to start paying to promote it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what we'd like you to do is go on, find a post that you like, and share it.
Yeah, sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring, and liking is...
And if you're still... liking is... So yeah, tune in next week. Bye for now.
Bye.